Johnny Ralph has been keeping an eye on the latest news in footy from the Herald Sun and Fox Footy as well. He is buzzing about town trying to find out what's happening. Good morning, John.
Hello, gentlemen. A shout-out to Captain Grumpy there as a birthday. You just think, how would he have gone under the kind of sort of intense scrutiny of Justin Langer there? You know, obviously Justin's had a few issues over the summer there, and he's had to have his 360-degree feedback, and he's had his coat tugged because he's not nice enough to the players. How do you think Captain Grumpy would have gone with the same kind of speculation there about, mate, I want you to be a bit more positive. I want you to stop throwing cricket balls through fences because we just lost the test to the West Indies. These times have changed, haven't they?
They have changed. Can you imagine? It's not a bad question, Buzz. How did he go in the modern media cycle, Alan Border?
Not particularly well. but now he's a very friendly man who, people that work with him can't believe he was the same guy that was so grumpy as a captain.
Well, and they just kept on losing tests, and that's why we loved him too, because it was a different era. You know, and obviously now everyone's nicer and a bit more PC, and we understand why the reasons for that are, but... Yeah, he was a superstar of Australian cricket. Hey, guys, just before we touch on some of the footy stuff, too, just a shout-out to the Chief. Shout-out to Mark Robertson. He's battling some serious health stuff, and he'll bounce back bigger and better next year. But, yeah, he just, I think it was commented on by Jared Waitley, so it's clearly out in the public now. So, the great man will be back and make the full recovery. Just going to take a couple of months.
Yes, good luck to Robbo. We send him our best here from the Breakfast Club. Worked with Robbo for many years, seen him around the traps for many years. He'll be all right. Hopefully he's not too much bigger when he gets back, but he'll be better when he gets back. The Chief, good luck to him with his recovery on that. Hey, Buzz, just on Alan Border, he sold it up to my brother at the Singapore airport one day and just bought him a beer just because he noticed he was an Australian and he just wanted to chat to someone and have a beer, and he sold it up and said, mate, can I buy you a beer? He turns around and he goes, and it's Alan Border. So that's the sort of guy Alan Border is these days. Tell me what's happening with Sydney. Are they going to challenge the Lance Franklin one-match ban for that elbow to the head?
Oh, I think they're unlikely to. And you know what? They might look back on this and think this is the best thing that's ever happened to their season. Now, you know, they've got young Logan McDonald who's waiting in the wings. I think the way that the match review panel has categorised his one-week suspension for that elbow to Luke Ryan makes it really hard for him to go to the tribunal and overturn it. So if they'd said, look, this is an intentional hit, it's low impact, have your week, son, then he might have said, well, hang on, I wasn't even looking at Luke Ryan. I had no idea where he was. It was the same shrugging motion as we've seen with David Asprey and so many of those presidents of the year, Joe Danaher and Luke Shuey. But I think that Michael Christian's been quite clever here in saying that, no, it's not intentional, it's careless. But it's also medium impact because of the capacity to cause serious injury. You elbowed someone to the head. You may not have known it, but it absolutely was an act that we believe is medium impact. Now, you can go to the tribunal and you say, well, did it have the capacity to cause serious injury? Pretty hard to argue against that. And so, I think the AFL has certainly done it in a way that it's more likely than not to be upheld. You know what? Buddy Franklin's played 11 of the last 12 games. He's only missed the bye in round 14, I think it was. He's running on top of the ground. But for him to have a nice little freshen up before the pre-season bye, they're good enough to win without him. They've got, a superstar forward line. And as I said, a player in McDonald waiting in the wings. I reckon you just park it and say, hey, bud, have a rest. You'll see your wife and kids in 7 or 8 days. Happy days, play on.
I'm okay with that. I think you should couple a week for it anyway. So however they get to that point. Is fine by me, but it was well done, I reckon, with the careless as opposed to intentional.
And let's face it, it's not very consistent. You know, I don't think Joe Danaher, if you've seen the precedents, I don't think Joe Danaher should have been suspended for that, a shrug to Dane Rampey. But I think David Asprey certainly should have been. It was a stop play. He threw his arm back. He might have hit Lachie Plowman, with the triceps, but that's not on in football. And I think to a similar degree, a real force in Luke Shuey, swinging his arm back, whacks Callum Mills. Now, Mills has got his head, down very low as he's hanging onto him. Was shocked that he hit him in the head. But I don't think if you throw your elbow back, you should say, oh, well, I didn't know that his head would be there. You should have a duty of care. So, look, I'm not defending that. I'm just saying that's the reason why there was a difference in those adjudications. But, but that doesn't mean that Buddy Franklin shouldn't cop a week even if there were some small mistakes that were made in previous adjudications.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing was just how angry Buddy was on Sunday. There was quite a few incidents where he was pushing the line, and I don't necessarily know why. It was a little bit uncharacteristic of him. He was really angry.
Was he?
Yeah.
You can't be throwing your elbows back. A short story is that's got to be taken out of the game. That's the short of it. And they need to be really strong in that. The MRO, or Michael Christian, does, and then the tribunal need to back that up as well if it gets to that point. So we'll see what happens with Bud, but I'm with you, Ralphie. He's been playing for a little while now. Have a spell and freshen up for a big finals campaign, which Sydney will certainly be a part of. What's happening at the Blues? There's a lot of conversation about this review and the future of some of the key personnel there, including the coach, but also high-performance advisors and footy managers as well. What do you know, Buzz?
Yeah, I think that review will come down, you know, in coming weeks. Is that next week? Is it 3 weeks away? Let's face it, we all know what the review's going to say, and I'm sure it'll be very detailed, and they'll have a lot of observances, and, you know, Jeff Walsh will be great to it. But you know what? The coach doesn't really have a brand. He's a really nice guy, but is he fully respected? The fitness boss in Andrew Russell hasn't got too many of those players very fit, and he's got way too many injuries there. You know, the assistant coaches need a refresh. You know, Brad Lloyd has brought really good people into the football club. You know, he probably needs a more cohesive strategy for them to excel. And the chief executive, Kane Little, you know, needs to get his bib out of football department issues like, list management, which he has. But he's done a brilliant job with the off-field. Now, I think all of those recommendations are going to allow them to sack their coach if they want to. And I think they want to. I mean, it's probably as simple as that. You know, everyone keeps talking about, you know, the history of coaches being sacked and, you know, oh, but look at Damien Hardwick. Damien Hardwick was retained by Richmond because he'd won 15 games 3 years in a row. You know, Nathan Buckley was retained, you know, against all probably logic because he was the golden boy and he was the favourite son. And they had played finals earlier in his season, in his reign, and he probably should have been moved on. You know, in almost every other situation apart from this in the last 20 years, David Teague is moved on, and I think he will be for all the reasons we all know. You know, what's their brand? You know, and I just thought that his words continue to hang him. You know, we talked about, you know, they lost by 40 points in the quarter in that third quarter against North Melbourne. But they only had 12 inside 50s to 10 as a discrepancy. And instead of saying, we were horrific, he said, I thought we got our looks. We didn't cash in. If his real issue in the third quarter was the fact that they got their looks and didn't cash in, not that the fact that the other mob kicked 7 goals from 12 inside 50s with an absolutely horrific defensive breakdown, well, I think that tells you everything you need to know.
But I'm not sure. I did follow this conversation on the week. I'm not sure we can sack a coach on a quarter of footy because part of the conversation that went with that, Buzz, was that quarter showed that he's lost the players. I mean, one quarter of footy never shows you either got the players or haven't got the players. I mean, that's just garbage. I don't know if we can identify a portion of a game as the end of a coach. Can we? That doesn't make any sense in the real world, does it?
Oh, I think it could be a cumulative effect. Yeah, I don't think he's lost the players. I mean, it's the easiest thing to say, isn't it? I'm not sure of the tactical issues. I don't really know what's going on, you know, inside the club. So I'll say he's lost the players. I mean, as you say, it's a cop-out, and it's not true. You know, I think it's across the spectrum. Players, you know, like the bloke or they don't. They value his tactical acumen and they don't. You know, and I think both of those are probably sliding towards, you know, less rather than more, but he hasn't lost the players. You know, I think they went into this review thinking, okay, let's find out what's happening here. You know, they have beat up on some okay sides, you know, but I think what the review will show, as I say there, is that at the very least, if they continue to win games of football, then they might have been able to bring in that Justin Lepich type, you know, totally overhaul your defence. You know, do the kind of things that Essendon's done in the last couple of seasons with ball movement, you know, albeit offensive stuff rather than negative. I think there comes a tipping point, though, where you say to yourself, is this really the bloke they're going to go with? And I just don't think he's shown them a lot of evidence that they're going to win a premiership. And that's what they're all about right now, especially if Charlie Curnow comes back in the next 4 weeks and plays good football. They think to themselves, we've got Curnow and Mackay, we've got Wienering and Jones, we've got Cripps and we've got Walsh, and if we're going to waste another year hoping our coach might be any good, well, I think that's fool's gold.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that until the weekend, the feeling was that David Teague would survive the review. Then the game against North Melbourne, or as Huff says, the third quarter against North Melbourne, all of a sudden changes that commentary a little bit.
Yeah, but that's what happens in football, where you hope... I don't think they came into this review going, David Teague's our man, he's a superstar. I think they came in looking for reasons to go, we don't really want to sack him because we just hired him 2 years back. And of course, we're going to have to pay him out, you know, whether it's a 6 week or a 6 month or a 4 year clause. You know, I just think there are moments in time where everything crystallises for you. And you think to yourself, oh, so what is their brand then, Huff? I'm an owner, you're not in the business of hiring and firing coaches. So they get their looks playing forward. There's non-tacklers until they want to be at times, and their defence is a dog's breakfast. So if you had to identify that game plan, what would you say it is?
Well, no, I think you've summed it up pretty well at the moment. I mean, he's always talked about positive ball movement being the cornerstone of his game plan. He's clearly identified and has been told that there is a defensive problem that he needs to address as well. And not just him, but the whole coaching staff, which they are trying to do. But that's pretty clear for all, Ralphie. And that's how he's built his game. And interestingly, David Noble is doing the same thing. He wants to attack and kick goals, and he's going to lay a defence on the top of that, he said on the weekend. So, I mean, that philosophy of footy can work or can survive to a degree. We don't know where it's going to end up with the Kangas either. But it's slightly different to the traditional methods that have been employed in the last couple of decades.
Yeah.
So here's the simplest question, really, and Sunrise has got the simplest answer. If Ross Lyon was coaching this club, which has got a lot of talent, you know, albeit it doesn't have as deep a midfield as you would hope, are they 3 or 4 wins, you know, ahead? And I think they are. You know, if David Noble was coaching this club, would they have a more optimistic outlook on playing finals and winning flags next year? I think they would. And I know you'll say to me, as you have early in the year, well, which are the games that they should have won? Well, I mean, you can't lose by 38 points to the, you know, ostensibly the team that has been the worst in football this year, albeit improving. So, you know, I think they're easy questions to answer. And, you know, all I would say again is that the history, apart from two notable outliers, is that bloke has moved on.
Buzz, always an insightful, investigative conversation with you. We appreciate your time. Good luck as the number one man at the Herald Sun.
Thank you very much. The number 7 man, but hopefully might get to 6 by the end of next year.